The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 99, Thursday, 15th March 2007. Networked. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show, Daniel Reynolds from Proxshot Inc. joins me on the show to talk about a couple of their applications, MC Tunes, and applications for sharing your iTunes content with Media Centre, including protected purchase tracks as well. And we'll also be talking about a TV recommendation application they've got called My TV Genie. I have winners of prizes I talked about in show 97, forum threads, email and news items. First to the email, and this is an email from Jack. As always, your show was great. Great information about Windows Home Server. From your interview, it sounds almost so we should wait for the second version of the server when it includes most of the asked features. Keep up good work, Jack. Thanks for the email, Jack. Apart from it not being a Windows Media Center PC, Windows Home Server for me works great. I mean, obviously, it can't outpower an extender, something like the Xbox and the Media Center user interface, but it does work as a Windows Media Connect device. But the way that I'm using it anyway, I still have my Windows Media Center PC, but I'm putting a lot of my content onto the home server. So I've got music, pictures, videos, and recently I've started to put TV on there as well. And I've got probably about half of my shows on the Media Center PC, half on the home server, and as far as Media Center is concerned, it doesn't matter where they are. So it's working for me really well. The backups are working really well. I can extract single files. If I delete a recorded TV program, I can go back to it. So it is working really well for me. So I'd say, don't hold off for version 2 unless there's a real showstopper that's stopping you from going for version 1. For backups, shared folders, synchronization, remote access to your files, all those kind of things. Windows Home Server is a great product, and I've got more on that later in the show. And for email, I said I'd do some prize winners on show 97, and I got a whole selection of prizes, and I've drawn those from random. And Jack Wigg wins a VideoBox Premium Wireless Keyboard for his contribution to the show. So well done to Jack, and thanks to VidaBox for their keyboard. And I hope you enjoyed the interview with VidaBox last week. We've got some other winners too, because we had a whole range of prizes. Derek from Abingdon in Oxfordshire in the UK. And for his tip on the DigitalLifestyle.com forums, he wins MCE Browser, Pamela the Digital Assistant for Skype. So other winners, we've got Ryan Hurst. And he wins a copy of Media Center Communicator V3 from Vista. More information on that in the show later. And the winner of M-Control Home Automation Software for Media Center is Slig. And Slig gets that for continuing posting on the DigitalLifestyle.com forums. He's posted a lot of information on there, so thanks to Slig. Each week, I'm going to be giving away a copy of Pamela, the Digital Assistant for Skype, and the MCE Phone Bundle. And to win that, you just need to join the forums on thedigitallifestyle.com. The way that I do that is for the most helpful post. It could be a tip, it could be a reply to someone else. At the end of the week, I look and see who's been the most helpful, or who's posted the best reply or the best tip, and they get a copy of Pamela and the Skype Pamela. And the Skype Digital Assistant and MC Phone. I'm also going to be giving away a copy of Media Center Communicator V3 in show number 100 next week. Now an email from Dave. It says, "Hi Ian, I'm a big fan of the show and a loyal listener of the podcast. I just wanted to say keep up good work. I don't know how you managed to do it all, keeping up on the technology, doing the show, a day job and family life. I really enjoyed the podcast with Todd about Windows Home Server. I'm a beta member myself, and I'm very pleased with it at this point. I've searched the forums on your site and also the green button, and I've not found an answer to this. How do you organise TV content, music and photos for different family members? I don't see a way of to use fast user switching from the remote on media centre. I'd like to separate my recorded TV from my wife's and the same from other content as well. I have Windows Home Server set up. I can record TV onto Vista Media Center to the Windows Home Server in a folder. But how do I separate it out by user, separate folders, etc.? My wife and I are the only users, but when she goes to music in Media Center, I don't want her to have to sort through my music when using Media Center with Windows Home Server. Have you done anything like this yet? I have my Vista MCE box in a closet along with the Windows Home Server. I can access all from the Xbox 360. Also, have you ever thought of making your music available for download? It sounds awesome. Maybe a PayPal donation or something like this would help with your website expenses. Well, thanks for the email, Dave. Some interesting points there. I don't do this approach of separating out my recorded TV and music per user. I'm sure you can do it, but I'm not sure off the top of my head how you would. I guess it would all come down to permissions. I personally have the approach that all the music is in there together. Okay, you know, there are some albums in there that for my wife that I wouldn't want to listen to, but of course you don't, you're not forced to go through them. You can just pick what you want to play. So for my approach is to have everything pulled together, but I can understand why you'd want to do that. I'm not sure how you do that. I'd be interested to hear if anybody else has any suggestions on that. It's not really just with Media Center and Windows Home Server. It could be just with Media Center on its own. I guess it comes down to permissions and something like that, maybe some scripts. But it'd be interesting to hear if anybody's got any ideas. Email in at ian@thedigitallifestyle.com if you've got any suggestions on that. As for your suggestions on the music, thanks very much for the compliment. I really enjoy doing the music, and it's always nice to think that someone is listening to it. I have got some music that's available for downloads on thedigitallifestyle.com. There's a link in the show notes. I like the PayPal idea, certainly to help with the website expenses. I think I'll perhaps set up a new download page at some point, and I've got some new music that I'm going to start recording soon. The show's taken quite a lot of time, so I haven't done any music for a while, so I'm going to get back into doing that. The other week, I was having a conversation with Microsoft's Charlie Owen. In fact, Charlie Owen is going to be the guest on show number 100 next week. And we were talking about various things, and he said that he was going to start some posts up on his blog on RetroSite for end users of Media Center. And he said he was going to see what he could do. And it looks like he started with that. What he started doing is taking kind of a mailbag approach, as Aaron Stebner's been doing. So if you want to ask Charlie Owen a question, or anybody from the Media Center team a question, all you need to do is go up to Charlie Owen's blog, and which is blog.retrosite.com, and I'll link a link to the post in the show notes. Leave a comment, or leave a question as a comment on the post, and Charlie's going to go through the comments, so one comment at a time, and post a blog post about the question. And actually, he's answered the first comment that was on there already. And so if you've got something you wanted to ask, now is your chance. He reserves the right to slightly reword the question to make it a little bit clearer, and he may not answer everything that you ask. Certainly, you know, if you ask him when is the release date of the next version of Media Center, you won't get a direct answer on that. But if you want to ask, head up to Charlie's blog and post on there. In fact, the first one he's answered is, can we expect new or improved features sooner than the next major version of Windows? And Charlie answers that clearly, yes. And he said that the team has been posting new versions of Media Center in 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006, which being the Vista version. So expect them to work to that same schedule. Hopefully that we'll see an update from Media Center this year, 2007. It'd be nice to know what's in there. But if you've got a question you want to ask Charlie, get onto his blog and post that. Like I said, link in the show notes. And thanks to Charlie for providing that service. couple of other items I've seen this week, and one that perhaps we well worth asking Charlie about, is thumbnails in music, in Media Center, or particularly on Vista. And this has come from a couple of different areas. First, I mean, I've been using Vista Media Center for quite a while now, and when I play music on my TV, which is a 50-inch LCD, I've noticed that the album art looks pretty low res, and I kept meaning to look into why that is, and sort of never got round to it. And then Jason Dunn of Digital Media Thoughts posted an article called "I'm Sick and Tired of Looking at Ugly Album Art," where he highlights the problem of ugly album art. And here's a quote from Jason's blog: "The problem is that the album art is the low resolution 200x200 or 240x240 highly compressed JPEGs pulled out of the folder, rather than the 600x600 lightly compressed JPEGs I have embedded on the file myself. The real result is badly pixelated image that looks quite bad on my 26-inch LCD." Interesting enough, Jason wasn't the only one that's noticed that. Sig over on the forums on digitallifestyle.com said, "I've been looking for a solution for this for a long time. I've come to the conclusion that Microsoft resizes all the artwork that's based into Windows Media Player 11 to 200x200, no matter what the original size is." And he's actually included a couple of photos in the post, forum post, where you can see the effects that this has. And in the thread, Ryan Hunt adds, "Regarding the 200x200 size, developing a UI that performs requires making some trade-offs, and image size and DPI ends up being one of those. I'm not saying that a better image size DPI couldn't have been chosen, but instead pointing out that you're likely running into a by design issue to make the gallery perform on large collections." So I can see the point Ryan's making out there. In these days, on 50-inch and 1080p and 720p, 200x200 does seem a bit low res when you're looking at Media Center. But I see what Ryan's saying, that there is a performance issue there, but I think at least should be up to the, if you've pasted in a 500x500 image into that file on Windows Media Player, then Media Center should respect that rather than using the resize one. And there's a few different ideas that people have come up on the forum, and if you check the forum post, you'll see what I mean. But I'd be interested to see what the resolution is. Certainly, we can't continue with the 200x200 forever, because as resolutions increase, it's going to look ridiculous. So I'm interested to see how that pans out, and check out the post by Jason, which is really good, and Slig's post as well. Media Center Communicator V3 was launched this week. And a big fan of Media Center Communicator, as I mentioned before. But one thing that never really worked for me is, because I use a Xbox 360 as an extender, I couldn't use that session, the extender session, to be controlled by Media Center Communicator. Well, in V3, OneVoice, I've added Xbox 360 support. So from my Media Center PC with the microphone, I can actually control the extender session. So it means basically I can go back to using Media Center Communicator to control my Xbox 360, which is brilliant. And best of all, something that's been asked for a long time is you can actually try a free version yourself. If you go to sayittoplayit.com, you can download a trial version and just see if it works for yourself. If it does, then you can purchase it. If it doesn't, then there's no obligation to, which is, I think, is a really good idea and really nice step from OneVoice to do. Plus, the other thing of interest to developers is they offer MCE speech tools for licensing, so developers can license the speech tools for your own applications. And I think we're going to see more applications being able to control by the voice control using these speech tools, which I think is really good. V3 is available for Windows Vista Home Premium and Windows Vista Ultimate, $79.95. And like I said, you can get a demo version from sayittoplayit.com. Now, the other day, I was looking around Codeplex, the shared source code site, and I came across an application that up to now I'd missed, called MCE Mail. It's a Vista Media Center application that checks POP3 and secure POP3 mailboxes, and then notifies you when the mail arrives. And developed by Microsoft MVP Anthony Park, the developer behind MCE Browser, The source code is hosted on Codeplex, and it's a really nice Media Center markup language application. And as we'll see when we speak to Charlie Owen next week, Media Center markup language is the best way of developing Media Center applications. So it's a nice application. If you're using POP3, then definitely check that out. Of course, you could, I guess you could use your, I use Gmail, and Gmail supports POP3, so I could use that from Gmail as well. So I'm going to have a look at that, and Anthony is going to be a guest on the show in probably about a month or so. So I've been looking forward to asking about that one. On Tuesday, I put out the Digital Lifestyle video show number 2, which is part 2 of my look at Windows Home Server. And part 2, I look at how to look inside of backups and restore individual files. I looked at the web-based user interface, which is a really nice way of, from over the internet, of browsing your shared folders and accessing remote desktop functions as well. So, and a little bit of a look behind the scenes at the server. I'll link for that in the show notes. Please check that out. If you have any suggestions for future videos, please let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Next week is show number 100. And I want to read out your email on the show. So any message will do. I'll keep them clean. But in particular, I was interested to hear how Media Center has changed how you interact with your digital media. So has it changed how you watch TV? Have you gone all digital with your music and your videos? Do you have the connected home and are you living the digital lifestyle? Send that in to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'm going to be giving a copy of Media Center Communicator away for the best email. And let me read messages out on show number 100. Right, now time for a quick break, and I'll be back with Dan Reynolds.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Dan Reynolds, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ian. Nice to be here.
From Proxure Inc. And as we were just saying before we started the interview, nice to hear an English accent for a change on the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, actually, an Englishman, but now living in California, enjoying the sunny weather.
Yeah, it's probably better than it is here today anyway. It's very cold and been really damp.
It's been cold here too, but very dry, so I don't miss the rain.
I bet you don't. So we're going to talk today about MC Tunes, which has been getting a lot of interest around on the blogs and the forums. So, but before we dive into that, could you give us a background on your company and the kind of things that you do?
Certainly. So Proxure was started about a year and a half to 2 years ago. And the founders in the company, we actually all came from a multimedia background. So we've worked for Roxio, Sonic, Veritas in the past. And we sort of focused in on the Media Center platform as being an emerging platform. Not too many companies are writing software for it, but it really is sort of revolutionizing the home entertainment experience. It's the one platform that really brings together everything, you know, music and video and your photos, etc., all within your home network. And so what we've been doing is sort of looking for niche applications and problems that we can go in and solve. You know, Microsoft's given us a great sort of canvas to work with, a nice platform to work with, and we're identifying areas and solutions just to improve it that little bit more.
Aside from NC Tunes, you've done some other applications in the past, haven't you? What were those?
That's right. Yeah, our first application was called MyTV2Go. And that allowed users to take their Media Center recorded TV shows, so their DVRMS files, and MyTV2Go then automatically convert those shows for your mobile device. So iPods, PSPs, Pocket PCs, etc., a whole wide range of devices. It would find those shows, convert them based on the settings you wanted, and then also handle the synchronization of those shows to the device. And that proved to be very popular. There wasn't an easy way to get the TV shows you're already recording and watching onto those mobile devices. And we actually sold that product to Roxio midway through last year. So that's actually available through Roxio now.
Right. I noticed a few listeners to the show mentioned that, and it was interesting to see how that had been picked up by Roxio.
Yeah, and actually I think very soon now, if not already, my TV2Go Premiere product will actually be released, and that adds some new encoding functionality and better quality encoding.
It's a nice application that if you've got one of the older pocket PCs or one of the devices that isn't updated or supported by Media Center, it works really nicely.
Yeah, definitely. We had a lot of pocket PC users actually, and then sort of evenly split with PSP and iTunes iPod users.
Right. So that enables you then to also get your TV straight onto your iPod then?
Yeah, it was great. It was a great way to have, you know, sort of basically free content, really. You didn't have to have any subscription fees. You weren't downloading things from iTunes, etc. You could take the TV shows you already had and then put them on your mobile device so that if you're on the bus or on the train, plane, etc., you had things to watch. It was really nice.
Yeah. And then, so moving forward, the application that I wanted to talk to you about, MC Tunes, this is the one that's been getting a lot of the interest at the moment. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah, certainly. Quick bit of background on it. I'm a big iTunes user, and so, you know, I have, you know, many gigs of music that I've sort of collected over the years and purchased from iTunes, and it was all sitting on my home hard drives, but I didn't have a way to enjoy it in the living room. There really wasn't a way to access that, and certainly no way through the remote control or through Media Center. And so we sort of, decided, well, we've got to solve this problem as much for ourselves as for everybody else. We realize that with as many iTunes users out there as there are, this is going to be a very popular product. And so what MC Tunes allows you to do, first thing is that it allows you to synchronize your iTunes library. So it takes your iTunes ratings and playlists, etc., and then makes them available within Windows Media Center Edition. So it synchronizes that library essentially with Windows Media Player, which then propagates that up through Media Center Edition. And so now through your remote control, you can go in, see all your music, see all your playlists, see all the artwork, etc., and play everything as though you're using iTunes. So that's the first thing that it does. It does that synchronization. And it actually keeps things in sync, so every night it'll check to see if you have any changes to your library and keep that synchronized, which is a nice, cool feature. So that's the first part, and that on itself is pretty nice and exciting. But then we also realized that, well, you know, it's not much use being able to play just your MP3s. It'd be nice to also play your purchased iTunes content, both your music and the videos and TV shows that you've downloaded. And so we set our engineers to work, and they came up with some filters and a way to tie in, basically, to iTunes legally to play that content back through Media Center. So in addition to playing perhaps CDs you ripped, your MP3s, or unprotected content, it also plays your protected content, so your M4P files, and also purchased TV and video files that you've downloaded from the iTunes store.
Right.
So that really is the kind of the icing right there. You know, that's the thing, the holy grail.
Yeah, because that's what everybody's been asking for, isn't it? They've got tunes that have been purchased through iTunes, but there's been no way of playing them through Media Center.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, I've installed the software, so I've seen it work, but it kind of like does a synchronization, doesn't it, in the background?
Exactly. It does the synchronization, and it enables Windows Media Player and Media Center Edition to know where those files are, and to also know how to play them. And, you know, one of the nice things also is that it's not its own separate user interface for this audio playback. So when you're in Media Center Edition, you just go to My Music as you would normally, and you can play your tracks back through that, whether they're MP3s or M4As or M4P files. It all plays back seamlessly.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed, that they're just there within your music. So, like you said, you don't have to think, oh, this track is on my purchased iTunes, so you load a separate application. It's all there just under the music.
Exactly. It's all just there, yeah. So that works really nicely. And then, you know, if you do download video content from iTunes as well, we do have a way to play that back. Unfortunately, we had to have a separate user interface for that because there wasn't a good way to tie that in to MC But if you go under more programs, we have a little video player where you can play all your purchased iTunes videos as well.
And this is available for the XP version of Media Center, isn't it?
That's right. It does actually work on Vista as well. There was a small little issue, I think, with the Vista 64-bit systems, which actually seems to be on the Microsoft side. And so we're working with them to improve the stability there. But it supports Vista.
And availability then, so if you want to get the application, how do you get started with it?
So you can download the application from mcetunes.com. And we have a couple of different applications available. There's a free trial available, so you can check the application out, just see how it synchronizes and plays. And then we have two versions above that. There's a $15 version, which doesn't support the protected content. And then there's our pro version for $30, which supports all the protected content. And then I think maybe even as soon as tomorrow, we'll be rolling out the version 2 of MCE Tunes Pro, which also adds support for the MCE Extender. So you'll be able to listen to your music, like, for example, through your Xbox.
Oh, right, because that's what I was going to ask, because that's how I use my Media Center PC through an Xbox Extender or the Xbox 360 Extender, so I'll be able to pick up my music there as well.
Exactly, yeah. So you go into your Xbox, you know, click on the MC button as you do, so you get the extended experience, and go into My Music, and all of your iTunes music will be available for you there as well.
Oh, that's excellent. So that means really you can get it all the way around the home then.
Exactly, everywhere in the house that you have the device. Yeah.
And of course, all using Media Center as well, which is the nice thing about this is it's all tied together under the one application.
Exactly, yeah. So you can set it up once, and however many extenders you have, you know, that experience is propagated, and it's the same everywhere you go. So, yeah.
Well, that's really good. And like I said, it's been generating a lot of interest, so you must have had quite a few downloads of this already.
Yeah, we've had a lot of downloads from it, and we're now also starting to get a bit of interest from some PC manufacturers and distributors about also distributing the product further. So yeah, it's been very, very successful. We, you know, there was a bit of a gut feel really in terms of how popular it would be, and that has proved to be correct.
I mean, for $30, really, you know, if you've been buying purchased content from iTunes and you're a Media Center user, then $30 is well worth investing.
Yeah, $30 doesn't go too far on the iTunes store in some ways. You know, it's you know, maybe 30 tracks, or it's I can't remember how much a TV show is these days, but maybe it's 10 to 15 TV shows or something. And so if you made that investment already and you have a substantial music collection, yeah, this is just, it makes the enjoyment of your music and your content that much more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not something I actually do a lot of purchases of iTunes, but I've just got iTunes downloaded some podcasts and they came through as well.
Exactly, yeah. And for me, I actually, I spend a lot of time, I rated a lot of my iTunes, actually pretty much all of my iTunes library. Because I ended up having a lot of songs that, you know, they come on a CD, maybe I only like half of the CD, so I don't want to listen to them, so I rated all my tracks. And, you know, that was a big time investment in iTunes, and so it's nice to be able to have that rating propagated into Media Center now as well.
Oh yeah, I see what you mean, yeah, so if you've spent the time keeping your iTunes catalogue up to date,
exactly.
And library up to date, that yeah, then you can share that
exactly.
across.
Yeah, and any playlists also come through, so that makes it really a user-friendly experience.
Yeah, it's just connected, isn't it? It's joining everything together and not keeping things separate.
Yeah, and we've had lots of really good feedback from people in terms of features they'd like to see down the road. And so we certainly welcome that feedback, and we're, you know, planning to release additional versions you know, pretty frequently. And so one aspect is sort of making it more capable in terms of having distributed libraries on your home network and pulling them all together into one place. But if you you might have a laptop and a PC, and you know, how does that come into MCE? So that's what we're doing as well.
Excellent. And you said the best way to keep a track of latest versions is just to keep an eye on the website.
Yeah, if you go to mcetunes.com, that's the best place to find them. When you purchase the product, you have the opportunity of signing up for our newsletter. And we do provide free upgrades and updates to users within the first year of their purchase. So, you know, if you buy the product today and we come out with a new version tomorrow, don't worry, we will make sure you get the update you're entitled to.
Right, good idea, because things change so quickly, don't they?
Exactly.
In software like this.
Yeah, we really value customer support and making sure our customers are happy. And you know, for any reason the software's not working, we do pretty extensive email support. We're very prompt on our turnaround for that stuff, so we really value our customers.
Excellent. And Is there any other products that you're looking to bring to market at the moment?
Yeah, actually, we have, if you go to our company's website, which is proxure.com, P-R-O-X-U-R-E.com, we have a number of products that we've released, mainly targeting the Media Center platform. One of my favorites is called My TV Genie, and it brings ratings and recommendation functionality to the Media Center platform. So, for example, if any of you are familiar with the TiVo platform, where it recommends shows to you, that we've also brought that functionality to Media Center now. So, as you watch TV shows and you rate them, My TV Genie learns what you like to watch, basically, and then will recommend new shows to you. It doesn't necessarily sound that exciting of a product, but it's actually surprisingly cool when you start using it. So, for example, I was pretty limited to watching maybe 5 shows on TV at, you know, in any one time. That's all I really watched. And this has really sort of exposed me to the many shows that are on my 100 cable channels that I have at home that I was paying for but not really experiencing.
Yeah, but...
And so it's a nice surprise to get that new content.
Yeah, it is. This is another application I've been playing with and been diligently rating all my applications. And it has started to... So, rating my recordings, and it has started to recommend some stuff that... it's interesting to see, because some of the stuff is definitely stuff I wouldn't normally watch, but I've let it go ahead and give it a chance, and it is proving to be quite fun to see this new stuff coming through.
Yeah, for me, it sort of focused in on the fact that I quite like TV shows about house restoration and flipping houses, and so now I have a number of shows that it's recommended for me that, which has been really educational and very nice.
And I suppose the program gets... or the service gets better the more people that use it and rate the shows.
Yeah, the more people that use it and the longer you use it, the better it learns who you are and what your profile is like and how to match you up with the rest of the community. And so, yeah, and the other thing to mention is that it's actually a free application. So, you know, go ahead and use it and try it out. It's really quite a good experience.
And it's very easy to rate the programs as well. There's one screen where you can go in and just give them a sort of 3 different ratings, a sort of smiley face or a sad face, and it's really simple.
Yeah, I mean, it was just designed to be, it doesn't need to be a complicated app because, yeah, really, as you said, it's just rating on a scale of 1 to 3, you know, as you said, an unhappy face, well, I kind of like it face, and yeah, I love it face. So very easy, and then, you know, just a couple of settings on the settings screen. You can say how many recommendations you want to get on a particular day. And you can also instruct the program to be mindful of how much space you have on your hard drive. And if your hard drive starts to get full, you know, to stop recording these automatic shows for you.
Yeah, it's been good. I must admit, a lot of the things that my wife, you know, records on the Media Center, it's picked up on those and recorded a few things for her as well. So it's interesting to see how it works.
Yeah, my wife also found it very interesting. As I mentioned earlier on, we had a baby about almost 3 months ago. And so for her, it's been very nice to have all these TV shows to watch in the middle of the night or... Well, for me too, also, and up, you know, feeding the baby at all hours.
Yeah, there's not a lot on at 4 a.m. for the 4 a.m. feed.
4 a.m. Really, unless you want to watch the Shopping Network or something.
That's it. Yeah, and, I remember it well, and it's not something I want to go back to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really changed it. I mean, the whole time shifting aspect. This really enhances that because it's not relying on you to now have to go and set programs. It's almost creating a personalized sort of TV channel for you, essentially.
And this is one of the features that I think I talked to Microsoft about, and, you know, why haven't they put it in? But they always say that they leave it to companies like yourselves to be able to, you know, to use the platform to come up with applications like this.
Yeah, exactly. We've been talking to Microsoft in the past and trying to make sure that we build applications that are complementary to what they're doing, and making sure that our roadmaps are not conflicting too much going forward.
Yeah, but it's a nice application, and they're both nice applications. And like you said earlier on, they're both good examples of a niche that you've filled that there's a demand for.
Yeah, and we do plan on working further on MyTV Genie, so we're looking at ways to add a slightly richer experience, and, you know, add some more content in there, and maybe also tying it into new media sources, so internet podcasts and video content that are available that route in addition. Sort of really pull all your video content into one place.
Well, that is a good idea, that, yeah.
Yeah, and then one other app, just to mention that quickly, throw it out there, is called Keep Vault, and that's available from keepvault.com, and that's a backup application, and you install it on your PC, and it's specifically designed for Media Center. Again, it will run in Media Center or in regular XP, and it's designed to back up all your personal media files, so things that are irreplaceable, like photos and, you know, maybe the video you shot of your son's wedding or whatever it is. And you install the application. It's very simple, like a three-step wizard to set it up. And then it actually backs up all your files to an online storage location. And because online stuff with most people today with broadband connections, they often have always-on connections. Our software is also always on. So it sits on your PC and it monitors for new and changed files. And as soon as it finds those new and changed files, it then copies that file to the internet storage location. And so you haven't got to worry about scheduling or putting DVDs in or tapes or anything anymore. It's just always protecting your PC.
Right. And what's the cost of that?
Right now we have a promotion where we have a software is free. And the company that we partner with, who's called Streamload, who are giving us the online storage piece of that, they're giving away 25 gigabytes of free online storage.
Right, so you can get quite a few of your pictures and things on there.
Exactly,
then.
Yeah, that's how I use it, make sure my pictures are protected. And it just sits there in the background and copies stuff up there. And if you want to have more storage than that, it's pretty reasonable. I think you can get up to 100 gigabytes of storage for about $5 a month at the moment.
And what's the performance like then on sort of the average broadband? Is it not sort of going to clog your network up every time you put a new picture on there?
Yeah, no, we put some smarts in there to make sure we throttle the bandwidth that we're using based on everything else you're doing on your network. So it does sort of takes a lower priority to everything else you're doing.
Right, I see.
To make sure that, we don't just eat up every bit of bandwidth you have.
Well, that's a really good idea, and the always-on nature of media center PCs means that you could essentially using the bandwidth up while you're not there, not using the PC.
Yeah, so, at night, whatever, the PC just sits there and starts moving those files up to your storage location. And then the nice thing also, because it's internet storage, is that you can then log into your account wherever you are and access those photos from any internet PC.
Oh, I see, right. So you don't have to be actually at your PC to get at them.
Exactly, yeah. So it makes a really, nice sort of data storage center for you.
Right, that's a really good idea.
And, if you want to also, there are ways you can set up public shares to that information. So if you want to share your photos with your friends or your family, this creates a really easy sharing mechanism as well.
Ah, right, yeah. So open up some sort of new ways of working there, isn't it? Applications like Orb, where you can share your pictures out. This is sort of another way of doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of it's very similar to Orb in that sharing sense, except here everything's on an internet storage site as opposed to your home PC. So, people would see advantages and disadvantages both ways, but we like the aspect that our internet stuff is always on, and also we take out that aspect of maybe a slower upload connection from your home. So that, once it's on the internet, you've got a nice fat pipe to that location.
And, of course, the best thing is if you have a problem with your media center PC, then, and you rebuild it or whatever, you lose data, you can just bring the files back down again.
Exactly, yeah. There's a one-click restore button, and it pulls everything back down. So.
Oh, that's excellent. And what was the...
Very easy.
Yeah, and what was the URL for that?
It's www.keepvault.com. KEEPVAULT.com.
Okay, that's brilliant. So I'll include the links for all these applications in the show notes, and people can go and check them out.
Great, thank you.
All right, well, many thanks to you for your time today. Keep up the good work with all these media center applications. I like checking them out.
Thank you, Ian. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, that's it for this week's show. Please don't forget your messages for show number 100 at ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Head over to the forums and get posted on there. We've got quite a good crowd on there now, so please join in and get posted on there. Don't forget to check out all the other blogs that are on there, the other bloggers that are on thedigitallifestyle.com. And you can check my own blog out as well. I'll see you next week for show number 100. I'll play you some music. Thanks very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. See you next week. Bye. Thank you.